Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favorite podcasts from Off the Ball.
My dream is obviously to have WrestleMania at Croker, to perform in that. That would be top of my bucket list.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The Green Scene on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Green Scene on Off the Ball, your home of all things Irish football. And we are back again with a squad announcement. Would you believe it? Only a couple of weeks after our heartbreak in Prague, we have all moved on and we are looking forward to seeing Hammers men back in action. David Wilson joins me in studio as always. To my left, David, how are you doing?
All good, all good.
And we've got a roving reporter, Ben Symes, on the line. How are you, Ben?
Very well, lads. Yeah, that was at a nice, it was quite sunny. I was down this morning.
Yeah.
But yeah, have to be back on the line.
Happy back on the line, yeah. Well, look, we've all had a pretty brilliant weekend. This is obviously a football podcast, but like the Westmead boys, they pulled through. The Monaghan boys, they pulled through. And the Dublin boys, well, they put down a statement. And we're very excited to be here talking football now. Proper football. Yeah. Well, let's not waste any time. I'm going to run you through Hamer Halgrimson's squad. A very different looking Republic of Ireland squad. Not quite what we've been used to seeing over the last couple of months. But that was expected. Just a 21-man squad for the time being. There's potential for one or two additions, as Hamer alluded to. 7 first-time call-ups. 9 players in this squad have come through the League of Ireland system. So that's a good reading. I'd be intrigued to know in the typical squads how many we usually have, but maybe that's something we can look into. I'll go through all the goalkeepers, I'll go through the defenders, the midfielders and the forwards, and then we can talk about it. And Ben, you can fill us in on exactly what you learned in Abbottstown this morning. So the 3 goalkeepers called up, Max O'Leary, Josh Keighley and Killian Cahill. Our defenders are Dara O'Shea, Aaron Cashin, James Abankwa, Mark McGuinness, Teo Adaramola and Joel Bagan, who when me and Ben pitched as potential candidates for this squad, David told us last week was a little bit rogue. Well, there was nothing rogue about it. Either that or Hamer Halgrimson is a rogue man too. The midfielders, just the 4 of them. Jason Malumbi, Jason Knight, Conor Coventry and Andrew Moran. Nothing too surprising there. And then our forwards, plenty of forwards. Adam Ida, Tom Cannon is back. Chidozie Ogbene, Casey McAteer, fresh off his promotion, his goal-scoring promotion to the Premier League with Ipswich. Mili Ali, Edemu Umaku, Jack Moylan and Jaden Ume. Jaden Ume is there. We called for him to be there. He is there. Benfica have let him go, despite him training with the first team over the last little while. So, Ben, to you first. Actually, I'll go to David first. I'll come back to you, Ben, because you were there. Are you happy enough with this?
Yeah, I am happy enough with the squad. I suppose it's kind of hard to know. Like, you've got 21 players. Like, we were pitching squads last week at 26, 27. I was pitching maybe a squad of 30 at some stage as well. But I know Hamer Halgrimson did say that someone has dropped out this morning, kind of last minute, so they have the potential to call up at least maybe one, maybe 2 players. But it is an interesting squad. Probably interesting as well for the players who aren't in it, I guess, like Harvey Vail, Jimmy Dunn, Boston Lowell, Gavin Bazunu, who we all probably would have thought would have been in the squad. But I guess we're at the time of the season and the time of the year where players who have especially played in the lower leagues in England and the Championship and League One, they've played 46 plus games. It's fairly taxing on the body, and Hamer Halgrimson said that, you know, those players have a couple of knocks and that's why they're not involved. And, you know, they still could be involved in the squad for Canada and for Qatar and Dublin just before that game as well. So an interesting squad, and I suppose the most interesting thing is that we have someone with real X factor kind of star quality in Jaden Ume, we hope. A very high potential player as the manager alluded to. And then we have Jack Moylan as well, who's just been absolutely tearing it up for the last, well, since he's come back from injury. So yeah, interesting squad, and kind of sets us up for a week next week where, yeah, we're going to see some different players and maybe, you know, it's maybe a different style of system, and we're going to have some different coaches as well, which is also interesting. But it's kind of it's something to you know, look forward to for the next week.
Yeah, before I do throw it over to you, Ben, the Green Scene on Off the Ball is with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams. Ben, sorry, before I go on to Ben, we are live today.
Yeah.
So get your comments in.
Live on YouTube.
Should have
yeah.
done that. It slipped my mind. It yeah. slipped my mind again. Now, before we do get to any of your comments, and please do leave them. Please do leave them.
Yeah.
Ben, what did you learn today in Abbottstown?
What did I learn? I don't know how much I learned. Overall, I'd say I'm quite happy with the squad. I suppose what I've learned is Hamer Hallgrimsson is willing to kind of give young players a chance. And that was the one thing that we didn't necessarily know was going to happen in the squad. Like, we both had, I think we all might have had Jaden Uma in our squads last week, but we didn't really know if he'd be actually given the call up. And it's interesting because I asked about another player that we might touch on in a while, Victor Osimvuna, and the response was he needs to go play under 21s. Basically, that's the next step for him. But Jaden Uma, he said, is physically ready. He's ready to play senior football. And this is a camp where basically you're going to find out those players who you're hemming and hawing, are they good enough? Are they not good enough? This is where you're going to find out, are they good enough? And if you find out that they're not, that's fine. You've learned that they're not ready yet, and they will be ready in time. I'm fairly happy with the squad. There's 9 uncapped players, 7 called up for the first time. I don't think anyone can have any complaints. I'm actually quite excited. Like, I'm quite excited to see players that we wouldn't usually see. And I do, yeah, I like, Ireland are quite wedded to this system. But just looking at the players that were called up, I think we might see maybe a little shift in how we set up at the back. A couple of injuries obviously are hampering that, like Harvey Vale is unavailable, Jimmy Dunn is injured, Joe Bagan is a doubt. Actually, I should preface by saying that he is in the squad, but we don't know if he's going to end up playing or not, and obviously there is that extra spot to be filled. But yeah, I'm pretty happy. It's a pretty nice squad on the surface of it.
Yeah, I think the big news, this, I suppose, from the announcement, Ben, is that Owen Elding is definitely going to be playing and committing his future to Ireland. There was that story last week that England were sniffing around, but he's 100% committed.
Yeah, I kind of asked Tamer, I spoke to him, and I asked him in bated breath, you know, you want the answer, but you don't want the answer. What's going to happen here? But yeah, look, I'd heard rumours before that article came out, but I didn't know how strong they were. And then you kind of doubt yourself when you see an article like that. But yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say Owen Elding will play for Ireland.
You did ask Hamer about Owen Elding. I think we can hear from Hamer talking about Owen Elding here.
Yeah, he's one of the kind of players that Ireland has. And it's always good to bring him up to this level and see if he's ready for this one. Obviously, physically, he's ready. And he's been doing well at the club. And I had a few talks with Benfica about him, and they rate him highly. And he's done well with the Ireland youth teams. A scorer, so yeah, no, it will be exciting to see him. He has many attributes, and like I say, a high ceiling, but you never know with young players. But it's good to have a chance to take a look at him.
Sorry, that is of course Hamer Hallgrimsson speaking about Jaden Uma as opposed to Owen Elling, but that's fine, there's no problem. We're keen to talk about Jaden Uma as well.
Yeah,
so it's exciting.
Yeah, I suppose on Jaden Uma, it was kind of interesting that he's been training with Benfica. And he's had a huge, a lot of spotlight on him just because of the type of player he is and the profile of player he is and the club that he's playing for and the development and the education that he's getting at Benfica. And to kind of fast track him into the senior team is just quite interesting. It's not something that Ireland have really traditionally done, especially if you look at that era before when Stephen Kenny took over. Like, we really had a poor record of transitioning players from underage squads or maybe younger players into a senior squad. We have a bit of a thing where, you know, the more experienced kind of player in a championship would get in ahead of someone who might be maybe less developed and a bit younger, getting into squads, I suppose, like under kind of Mick McCarthy, Martin O'Neill, and that's what kind of happened. I think Stephen Kenny kind of changed the mentality or the mood on that. And now we have Hamer, who's kind of brought this on again with a player like Jaden Uma, who we all watched in the under-17 World Cup last year as well, who could play, you know, off the left and maybe through the middle. I think it's an exciting time, and it's probably the best time to bring him in. He's been fast-tracked to the 21s, now fast-tracked to the senior squad. It's, yeah, I don't know about you, Ben, but I think it's something that maybe Ireland have not done well over the last couple of years, maybe the last maybe 10, 15 years, and this is maybe a kind of a change in the mindset maybe.
Yeah, look, it's important to say that Stephen Kenny did bring a lot of players through, but maybe not fast track this much. And it's something that I have definitely wanted Ireland to do for a long time. I know, especially when you watch our close neighbours, Wales, bring through the likes of Ethan Ampadu, Ben Woodburn, and all that didn't work out quite well, but Harry Wilson, these players all came through at 16 years of age, and they were, you know, okay, Harry Wilson's a bit older, but Ethan Ampadu's in his mid-20s, and you know, he's going to end up retiring for Wales with about 120 caps, 130 caps, and it's something that Ireland have been very slow to do. I'm really excited to see him in the squad, as Hamer said, and I agree, he's physically ready. We've seen that from his performances at underage football, that he excels, and he that's where he really shines. I'm really excited to see how he transitions that to senior football. And it's in a game and at a level where there's no pressure on him. There's no expectation to perform. It's really the perfect scenario to bring these players through. And I'm glad that Hamer has capitalised on it. I maybe would have liked to see a couple more. I probably would have liked to see Victor Osimhen in there. I just think, and Bradley alluded to it last night, we don't have players who can do what Osimhen can do, excuse me, in the middle of the park, where he gets the ball and he bounces off a player and he turns and he moves forward and he plays that pass. Ireland don't have too many players like that. And Osimhen is someone who I think is going to be in Ireland senior squads for a long, long time. And I don't see the harm in getting him involved in it at all. I'm delighted that Uma is there. Maybe one or two more. I think Rory Finneran was someone who was a shout last week as well. Yeah. Like, you know, maybe I'm looking at that midfield and I expected more than four midfielders in the squad. Yeah. That was something that kind of shocked me. So to throw Osimhen and Finneran in there, there's no harm in doing it. There's only 21 players in the squad. As Hamer said, we will call up definitely one more, maybe two more if Bacon drops out. So there is still time to bring these players through. I'd just like to see more. Hopefully this is the start of a trend where the players get fast-tracked through to the senior team.
Are you at all surprised, I'll go to you first, David, that there are no League of Ireland players included? Me personally, I didn't think there would be at all in the first place. And Stephen Bradley, I think, would have probably, well, he would have known the fact that none of his players, including Osimhen, were going to be called up when he was speaking about it last night. So I'm not sure what you make of all that, but I suppose in total, are you surprised by the fact that there's no League of Ireland players in this squad?
No, like you were right last week. I think both of you were right that there would be no players playing in their seasons within the squad. I kind of was kind of wishing more than anything else that these players would be involved and that the League of Ireland and the FAI could come to sort of an agreement about releasing these players. On the League of Ireland players in the squad, I think like Victor Osimhen is the obvious one. I have seen quite a bit of him this season. I saw him a couple of weeks ago against Derry City up in Celtic Park. And, you know, he just looks like he's a cut above everybody else. He can kind of do everything. And I think he'll be in the squad for the last game in May and the Canada game. I just think he's just that good. He's just an unbelievable. Like, I know you were speaking to him today, Ben, about what the next level, what the kind of progression looks like for Osimhen, but from like my point of view, I thought he just looked exceptional. And I'm disappointed that he and a couple other lads from the League of Ireland aren't in the squad, but that's just the nature of the kind of the football calendar.
Yeah, look, Hamer did say that, look, the exact quotes he said for me were, you know, I double checked, will there be League of Ireland players in the squad for Canada and Qatar? And he said, yes, definitely. So I do think that, I don't want to say rectified, because Hamer's thoughts were he didn't think players would be allowed to be released from the League of Ireland clubs. And that's why he didn't give any kind of thought to that at all. Part of me kind of goes, you know, would a phone call suffice? Like, you know, if you ask these managers, would they maybe release these players? But I don't know what the conversations were there. Dawson Devoy is one who would have liked to see, and Osimhen is probably the main one because of the excitement that we will have for him for the next 15 years for Ireland. But look, yeah, if you're a disappointed League of Ireland fan, the only thing that I can say is that there will definitely be League of Ireland players in the squad at the end of the month. And Hamer did say only about two or three players from this camp will be involved in the one against Canada and Qatar, which is interesting because we've got a couple of senior players in here, like, you know, the likes of Jason Malumbi, Darragh O'Shea, Jason Knight are all in the squad. So to know that only two or three of them will be in this camp is exciting. It's also exciting for these players to know this is your chance to stake a claim. You know, you mightn't be in the squad at the end of the month again. So this could be not the one chance you have, but we go into Nations League fixtures after these. So, you know, this is the game. Give it all you have. You know, yeah. I'm excited for it. Disappointed a bit League of Ireland players, yes. But knowing that they will be there at the end of the month is quite nice to take solace in.
Yeah, there's definitely an opportunity for some players to stake a claim, I suppose, with Hamer, make an impression on the man who's going to be calling up the players for the next couple of squads. We have a couple of comments in. We also want to welcome Mike McGorry, 51111, to Off the Ball Premium. He's been a subscriber, so fair play, Mike. Thanks for joining us. Message in here from one Connor. Victor Ojemvuna, get him capped pronto. Qualifies for Russia and Nigeria also. I wasn't aware of that.
No, I had heard of...
Yeah, he's a Nigerian father and a Russian mother.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, that's Ojemvuna's background. So, nice mix of footballing talents there. Yeah. Different kind of mix of footballing talents. And then, and then growing up in South Dublin as well, I know, like, you hear stories as a kid. He's out kicking ball on the road, literally nonstop from dusk till dawn as a child. Mm. Yeah, playing every single sport. Yeah, next door to Owen Doyle's dad, is where Victor Ojemvuna grew up. Russian mother, Nigerian father. He is eligible for both, but I do think he will play for Ireland. Yeah.
Well, we hope you're right. Anyway, Owen McDermott's also been in touch asking if the Granada game is an official international or if it is a training game. As far as I'm aware, it's official international. It's just a friendly.
Ben. Yeah, so the Granada game is an official international. So basically, the FAI set up this camp. The aim was to have two official internationals, one on the Wednesday, the other on the Saturday. There was a couple of teams kind of interested. Wales were one of those that were touted to play Ireland. That fell through. There was an offer to play Granada again. That didn't go through. So what will happen is on the Saturday, the Granada game is an official full international. You can buy tickets for it. It's in Real Murcia Stadium, which holds 31,000 people. And on the Wednesday, just a couple of days before it, Ireland will play Real Murcia in a friendly. That is a complete training game. I'm not sure if that's going to take place at Real Murcia Stadium or if it's going to take place at the Pinatar Arena, which is down at San Pedro, which is about half an hour away from Murcia, where the mud bats are. If you've ever heard of them, it's like the biggest mud bats in Europe are down at San Pedro. I've actually been in them before. It's quite nice. Yeah. They're a bit smelly, but it's meant to be really good for your skin. It's really good for your skin. And it was glowing when I did go to the mud baths a couple of years ago. You actually genuinely do notice it. It's meant, like, you see loads of old people. It's meant to be really good if you've arthritis as well. Mud baths. But anyway, Ireland will play.
I like to be called the elderly, Ben.
The elderly, sorry. Apologies for that. Ireland will be playing Real Murcia, I think, in the Pinatar Arena. Not 100% confirmed. Okay. But yeah, that'll be a training game. Granada's an official friendly.
Keep your comments coming in. Please do. It's great to hear from all of you. And this special edition, this live edition of the Green Scene off the back of this squad announcement. David, you want to jump in?
Just on the Real Murcia game, I know this is quite a nerdish football question, but will it be behind closed doors or journalists going to be allowed in to watch?
So it is behind closed doors for fans. From what I can gather today and what we were told, not 100% certain, but more than likely journalists will be allowed to watch the match. It's great news for people who want to know what happened. Journalists will be allowed in to watch it from 95%. Certain they'd be allowed in to watch it. Yeah,
exciting stuff. I want to just run back through the squad a little bit here, unless you have something there.
Just on Real Murcia, they are 13th, I think, in the third tier. They're divided into groups in Spain, and they'll be in the middle of, like, the week. They play on, obviously, if they play Ireland on Wednesday, behind closed doors friendly. Yeah. They play Juventud Torremolinos in the league on the Saturday, so they'll probably
be Tropic.
So it's gonna they're probably gonna play a bit of a second string team there, but. That's where they are. They really have nothing to play for.
A few unfamiliar faces, I suppose, in the squad. Like, as you mentioned, there are some senior members there. Some guys we're very used to seeing. Great to see Darragh O'Shea involved. I mean, I don't think anyone would have begrudged them giving this one a miss off the back of the week or so that he's had. But, good to see him stepping in there. I'm just going to work from the forwards back. I will, before we get into a few of the unfamiliar faces, I do want to throw something at you here. Tom Cannon. Happy to see Tom Cannon back. What's the verdict here? He's not someone who's been on our radar. I don't think he's received the call-up under Hamer Hallgrimsson. He's a couple of caps, obviously, and we had all the stuff a little while ago with England and him switching over and all that sort of stuff. He's had a pretty average season for Sheffield United. They've had a pretty average season themselves, but he has scored a couple of goals. Yeah, what do you reckon about this?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like he's played, like he's kind of came in with a big reputation, but that kind of happens when someone has the, you know, the chance of declaring for two countries, and then they choose your country, and you think, right, this is the guy, you know. Mm. But like 36 games in the league, 6 goals, 2 assists. Yeah, not setting the world alight, but it's someone with a high, like I think, with a high potential. He's still, what, 20? He's 23. Mm. Like, he's still got, you know, the vast majority of his career ahead of him. And he was signed for big money for Sheffield United,
yeah,
wasn't he?
He spent a lot of money.
Like, I know Sheffield United have been a bit of a basket case this season, but that might, you know, we see players in clubs like this and end up making transfers like this all the time, where they go and it's kind of it's a big move and, you know, there's a lot of money spent. But, you know, for whatever reason, the club is not in its best moment, I guess, and the players that are signed or the players that are part of the club or part of the team kind of suffer. And maybe that's just happened with Tom Cannon this year. Maybe it's just a bad season for him, but I don't know what you think about that, Ben.
Yeah, when we did our squads last week, I had Tom Cannon to be in the attackers. I was quite excited. I'm really excited to see him back in Ireland shirt again. I think there's unfinished business there. I think when he broke through at the under-21s, I remember him scoring at Turner's Cross. And I kind of thought, God, this is going to be our man. Like, he was obviously had those loan spells out of Preston. And I remember especially watching him in that Preston team because he was alongside Troy Parrott. And he looked like a finished product already as a striker. And he looked like he just kind of had that natural knack that you need to be a striker that you can't really teach. You just kind of need to know to be in those positions at the right time. He looked like he had it. Yeah, look, it probably hasn't worked out the way he wanted it to, his career, the last couple of years. But he's still so young and he's so much time to get his career back on track. And I think this is the perfect opportunity. Get the green shirt on you again. Mm. There's no pressure on you. You're going to have to play a game where expectations are low. The manager's looking to see, are you capable of getting back into my squad again? Like, these type of squads have the capability to change a player's career in a green shirt. Players who were on the periphery, you know, weren't getting called up to squads at all. Players who were getting called up to squads and weren't getting minutes have a chance to grab a game by the scruff of the neck and grab a camp by the scruff of the neck off the field and show that you can be a leader and that you're too important to drop. Because that's one thing that we know with James Coleman and John Egan. Hamer loves having players in the squad who are natural born leaders. Mm. And this is a chance for players. I don't know if Tom Cannon is that natural born leader, but he can lead on the pitch. And this is the chance for Tom Cannon to stake down that claim for both international football, but also improve his prospects at club football. Because he's going to have Sheffield United are a club that are realistically going to have a 3 to 5 year plan of getting back to the Premier League. There's no reason why he can't be at the forefront of that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of revolving doors there too. Players come and go. They've got a lot of attackers there. They've Danny Ings. They've got Patrick Bamford.
Yeah.
Tom Cannon's there too, and he's getting a lot of minutes. So I'm personally happy to see him back. I mean, the more options we have up top, the better.
Yeah, like I remember he signed for Leicester, and then he had like an injury in a medical, like an undiscovered injury. I think like a stress fracture or something like that. And that kind of, like, when that happens and you move somewhere, like, it just sets you back so much. And then signed for £10 million to Sheffield United. Like, it's, you know, even these days, it's still quite a lot of money. So there is a lot of potential there.
He had a very good loan move at Stoke as well. I think, you know, when I say a very good loan move, he had some moments. I think he scored 4 or 5 goals in one game for them or something.
He did.
I seem to remember that now.
Scored 4 goals for Stoke since Peter Thorne in March 2000.
There you go. I think Marco Mani was a... Marco Mani? Yeah, I think he was on the pitch that night as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on from that, Adam Omaku as well. He's a bit of a surprise inclusion. I don't think any of us had him last week. He definitely would have been on our radars when we were putting our squads together. Obviously, he was at Millwall for quite some time, came through at Shamrock Rovers, and has been at Oxford since January. He's there on a permanent basis. They've just been relegated, so he's going to be playing in League One next year. But a good opportunity for him, I suppose, in the same breath as the rest of them. You can say this about all these players to make an impact on him, or whether he's going to be involved going forward, it's hard to know. But for people who don't know who he is, he's a very direct forward. He's probably came through maybe playing centrally. He's been playing out on the left a lot. Over the last little while when he was coming off the bench for Millwall. So exciting to see him, probably cut from the same cloth as Millie Ali too, a similar profile of player, very quick, very direct, maybe slightly raw still, even though they're not entirely all that young. But a bit of a good few options there on the left-hand side is the thing that's jumping out at me here, looking at the forwards, between Jade Numa, between Mili Ali, between, I know Casey McAteer's been playing a good bit off the right, but a winger, Ogbene a winger, a Maku a winger. It seems as though he's experimenting a little bit here. He's going to be giving lads minutes to try and see if maybe any of these can be a solution. I don't know if a solution is the right word, but just something to freshen things up, because that's something when you looked at the bench over the last little while, you're kind of thinking, who's going to come on here and give us something when maybe Ogbene gets a little bit tired? And that's going to be important going forward, because as valuable as Ogbene is right now, he's not getting any younger.
Yeah, I think for me, Ireland, we know now that Ireland are going to play with three players across the front line. And Ogbene has shown how important kind of having an explosive attacker who's just willing to run and run and run all day. And for these kind of forwards, yeah, to go into a squad like this and know, like, almost know that you have the chance here. Basically, you're going to be playing alongside one of the guaranteed front three for Ireland, which Udo Ogbene. The other two, who recently have been Finazaz and Troy Parrott, aren't going to be there. So you have the chance, basically, to work alongside someone who's directly in that front three and try and stake your place to make a squad to probably come off the bench, let's be realistic.
Yeah.
They're not going to start off with Troy Parrott or Finazaz. But you have a direct chance to learn on and be an understudy to the guy who you're going to be replacing off the bench. A guy who kind of made his first initial impacts for Ireland by being an explosive player that when we didn't have one at the time. And you're right, it's something that we so lack off the bench to change games. And when it has happened under Hal Grimson, like I think of Finland away when Festi Abisele came off the bench and had a brilliant impact because he was explosive and direct and getting the ball in the box. And we probably haven't seen that enough off the bench. And all those lads, Jade Numa, Jack Moylan, Edo Maku, Mili Ali, they're all players who are capable of doing this. You're not really going to be given a better chance to stake a claim to be in the Ireland squad in the future.
Yeah. For on Imaku, I just remember my Shamrock Rovers is like a really good centre forward and kind of had a lightning pace. And he's kind of seems to develop his game now as a left winger, kind of interestingly as well. The move to Oxford, I don't know, was it a good one?
I would say it probably hasn't borne any fruit just yet. Obviously they've been relegated. He was going into a team who were under the cosh. He'd never really nailed down a starting berth, and now he's going to be in League One. But look, since he's gone over to England, he's never really had a proper run.
Yeah.
He's racked up a lot of appearances for Millwall while he was there, up towards 100. Never really kind of got the goal contributions that maybe... he deserved. The Millwall fans were quite fond of him. Were kind of, I say, sad to see him go. I mean, they probably recognised the fact that he wasn't going to be the one who was going to propel them to the next level at this moment in time.
Yeah.
But wished him all the best, and obviously saw a player in him. And he's, look, the move might work out for him. Oxford will be aiming to come straight back up. So yeah,
he's industrious, and what he does is like he's direct. So I think he gets like fans
on their feet,
Their feet, and that. So I think that's what kind of fans appreciate.
He's honest too. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah,
I just thought there when you mentioned League One and Championship, like someone who we've been raving about is Jack Moylan, who is playing League One football. Like Jack Moylan has never played Championship football.
I've never had any problem with League One.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying for the likes of Edo Maku, like players we haven't seen that much of. Like this is he's going into next season now with a clean slate, a team like you said are going to be pushing to get back into the Championship. It's something that we I know you've no problem with League One, Matthew, watching Wigan every week down there. But I think sometimes the wider public I think sometimes maybe the wider public's perception of League One is kind of diminished a lot more. We know the standard is similar to the League of Ireland, and the physicality is probably higher. So Aidan Mack has a huge chance to get a run of form on the belt. Look what it's done for the likes of Jack Moylan. He's heading into the Championship in serious form. There's no reason why we can't be having these conversations about Amaku in 12 months' time.
Yeah, I want to talk about Jack Moylan. I know I've kind of put it off a little bit, and we have been talking about him a lot and waxing lyrical about him a lot, but the season he's put together for Lincoln is nothing short of incredible. I mean, he's had some issues with injury-wise since he's been over there. Of course, everyone knows his story to this point, but even after the fact where they were crowned champions and had their automatic promotion, he's still put the foot down and he's been scoring some cracking goals. Just how excited are you, David, to see Jack Moylan in a Republic of Ireland shirt?
Yeah, I think it's, like, as a story, it's an example for any player that's in the League of Ireland, Premier Division or First Division, that if you apply yourself, you look after yourself off the pitch, you don't give up on you know, you don't lose that self-belief, and you don't let kind of the setbacks get you down too much, that you can always come back and make it to the top of the game, as in, like, you know, playing for your country, hopefully for Jack Moylan over the next weeks and months. You know, was at Bowes, went on loan, did really well at Wexford in the first division, then ends up at Shelburne, does unbelievably well for Shelburne, and, you know, Damien Duff, someone who gets like the best out of him. And then, like, does exceptionally well in the League of Ireland, goes to Lincoln, has another setback with more injuries and kind of in and out of the team, and then, you know, doesn't give up, and he's had an unbelievable second half to the season, and is now, yeah, one of the most exciting players in this squad, and someone that's not just going to be in this squad, but, you know, will have staking his claim for the squad for the end of May and June, and you know, for the Nations League in the autumn. So I think it's just it's a great story, and he's a credit to himself and the people that he's worked with, and the coaches and players he's worked with as well, because he never give up, and he's kind of reaping the rewards of the hard work that he's put in over the years.
Yeah, I imagine you're equally as excited to see him, Ben.
Yeah, it's like, he's someone who I maybe made a little bit of bold call and jumped the gun by saying he probably should have been in the squad, that he could have been in the squad in March to face Czechia. But I really do think this guy is like, has the potential to be top level of football. Like, I think I might have said on this podcast before, like, I saw him play football for the first time, I think he was about 9 or 10 years of age, and like, you can tell at that level when someone is going to be, you know what I mean, the quality that they're going to have, and you could tell at that level how good he was going to be. I'm really excited to see him in when you look at the forwards for that squad, you're probably looking at that going, like, he has a chance to take this by the scruff of the neck. And really, you're coming into this in flying form, like a lot better form than, you know, I'm not trying to diminish the form of the other players who are in the squad.
No, of course,
but yeah. the form that Jack Moylan is in, we probably don't have a player at the moment other than maybe Troy Parrott in that type of form.
Can I ask?
So there's no reason.
Yeah,
go on.
Yeah, sorry. Can I ask, what does he do that we don't really have in the squad now? Like, because like, for people who don't watch a lot of League One or Lincoln City, but like, what does he do? Like, what skill set, what characteristics do he have that kind of maybe make him a little bit different to all the other players that Ireland can pick from at the minute?
I think it's like, it's something that we probably wanted from Sammy Schmodix when he came in at first. That player who's not an out and out 10, not an out and out striker, sorry. He's not directly number 10. He kind of floats in between. When he gets the ball to his feet, his dribbling ability is, the ball's like it's glued to his feet, and he just glides by players. He has this ability to pick a pass, which when we spoke with Victor Osimhen earlier, and that want to kind of maybe get him fast tracked to the first team, Jack Moylan's a similar, where I just think it's like Finazaz and maybe Harvey Vale a little bit as well, where they can just see that pass in front of them so clearly, and the game is almost played at a slower pace for them than it is for anyone else that's on the pitch. It's to have that ability that we know the likes of Finazaz and Harvey have, but also know that he has the output at the end of it. He has that just knack for goals. Those type of players who can create and score are so, so rare to find in international football. And if there's a chance that he can kind of elevate those performances from League One to the international stage, those type of players do not come around so often at all. And to have a player who is able to do that, I don't want to say it's like kind of, you know, if Wes Hoolahan had the ability to score goals at the end of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If Wes Hoolahan was capable to score 12 to 14 goals a season, like, that's the type of player we're looking at here, I think.
Yeah, well, hopefully Jack Moylan can translate his League One form into the Championship, into the Premier League, and then
and
most importantly for Ireland,
yeah.
Of course. Yeah. I want to quite kind of do a bit of a run around the houses here. We haven't got a whole lot of time left, but we're not in any major rush, I don't believe. I've also got a comment to get to in a couple of minutes, but just looking through, I'd love to spend a bit of time on midfield, but there's not really a whole lot going on there. Good to see Conor Coventry back involved. We know about Jason Knight, we know about Jason Malumbi. There was no way in hell Jason Malumbi was going to be skipping an Ireland camp. We know right well that he'd be loving this opportunity to put the green shirt back on. Andrew Moran, though, obviously made that very late move to Preston at the end of the January window. Was a very slow sort of start for him, wasn't getting a whole lot of minutes, was working himself up to speed, having been out of the picture, really, as far as senior football goes, when he came back from LA in October, November. Was kind of waiting around at Brighton then between the rest of November, obviously December and January, but has picked up a couple of goals for Preston, has been coming off the bench a bit, has been starting a bit, playing in maybe a slightly deeper role than perhaps we would know him for. He's definitely someone, I mean, we're talking about Jack Moylan here as like the kind of the big, exciting, young talent. I know he's like probably a bit older than Andrew Moran actually, but Andrew Moran has been someone who's been on the radar for quite some time.
Yeah, and a skill set we've talked about in here as well that is different, like a kind of a nice ball-playing midfielder who wants to get on the ball and dictate the game. And I think the move to Preston has kind of worked out for him pretty much. Like he's played... He's definitely played obviously a lot more than what he was playing before, but that wouldn't be hard. But, you know, the next season for him is...
Next season's massive
is
for Andrew
huge
Moran. Massive,
and will determine...
Because it was a permanent move, of course, too, from Brighton.
Yeah, and it'll determine where he fits in or how he fits into the Ireland squad in the future. Like the midfielders, we are a bit short on. And if someone can, challenge Josh Cullen, challenge Jason Malumbi, maybe Jack Taylor as well, and kind of be another option, and be a different type of option, which I think Andrew Moran can be and will be, I think that's only a good thing for Ireland. But it's good to see him. Good to see him as squad.
Yeah, we'll move on quickly from Andrew Moran. I won't get your take on that, Ben, because I enjoyed your Jack Moylan take so much. I'll leave it at that. We'll move to the defenders. Teo Adaramola and Joel Bagan. Now, you've mentioned Joel Bagan potentially being out with that bit of an injury. Obviously, got promoted with Cardiff. And Teo Adaramola's heading the other way. Obviously, only on loan at Sheffield Wednesday. So it remains to be seen if he's going to be back there next season. But a successful loan move for him, it must be said. They pick up their very first home win of the season.
Yeah.
First, they were on the verge of becoming the only team in English football history to go an entire season without winning a game at home. But they did get one. They beat Jason Malumbi's West Brom, so they can be happy enough with that. Left back, not somewhere we're kind of festooned with options. We're not totally lacking him. Ryan Manning, obviously, is the kind of star there at the moment. Robbie Brady's still around. He's picked up a bit of an injury. That's why he's not involved. He's going to have to get that checked out in the off-season, which is understandable. But as far as Teo Adaramola and Joel Bagan goes, do you see them being viable options going forward? I mean, Joel Bagan's going to be playing championship football next season with Cardiff. I'll throw that to you, Ben.
Yeah, I think it's probably... It's not a worry position because we have Ryan Manning and Ryan Manning's played quite well. But like the other options are Robbie Brady, who's kicking on a bit. Let's not, you know, beat around the bush. I know he's injured for his squad. And Callum O'Dowda, who's out playing with Ferencváros in Hungary. So the fullback positions are definitely positions that we need to look fast to young players coming through. It's a perfect opportunity to get the two of them up. I remember watching Joe Bagan for the Ordinary 21s a couple of years ago. And forgive me, I can't remember who was playing right back that day. But the two centre-halves were Jacob Ryan and Mark McGuinness, and Joe Bagan was at left-back. And the three of them were outstanding, like brilliant. And Bagan was probably someone who at the time, I maybe earmarked and said, geez, he could be playing for Ireland in the next 2 years. And we're going back. That was, I remember Conor Coventry scored a penalty that game, was against Luxembourg. Ireland won 1-0, and everything around COVID is such a blur. I can't remember if it was just before or just after. But anyways, it's taken a lot longer than I thought at the time it would for Joe Bagan to end up playing for Ireland. I'm just delighted. Hopefully, fingers crossed, that the knock is okay and he makes the squad. And Teo Adaramola is another one who we've heard about for a long time since going over to Crystal Palace. And we've probably been waiting and waiting to see him play. I know obviously he played at Bradford, but seeing him play a full season of the Championship, just it can only be good for him. And I know obviously the situation at Sheffield Wednesday is not what he would have wanted, but to play championship football for a full year, like at the end of the day, he did play at a higher level than Joe Bagan, albeit Joe Bagan will be going up to play it next season. I think both left backs are, this is a brilliant chance for them, both of them. They're probably going to be competing up against each other, but it's a brilliant chance again to take Klein and say, I want to be that, probably for the next couple of years behind Ryan Manning in that left back role, but after that I want to be Arden's left back for the next 10 years.
Yeah, just before you go on, before anyone starts tearing inch in the comments, he was of course on loan at Leighton Orient for the first 6 months of the season. That didn't go too well for him, and then obviously went to Sheffield Wednesday for the remainder, but the point still stands. It's still the same, same thing.
Just on Adaramola, I just think he has X factor. Like he was extremely highly rated coming through 17s, 19s, 21s at Ireland. Has an unbelievable amount of pace, combined with like that kind of power attacking from a left back position. And it's came through a great school at Crystal Palace, who produced a lot of players.
Still there.
And technically is still back. Will he be back with them in pre-season? And then we'll see what happens after that. So I would be very keen to see him play. And hopefully he can just keep injury free and he keeps kind of developing the way he is developing.
Yeah, we're running out of time here. We're getting a couple of comments coming in. I'll get to them in just a moment. Obviously, the rest of the defenders, Mark McGuinness, James Abanko, Aaron Cashin, with the first call-up. And delighted to see him in there, left-footed, only 24. So he's definitely someone we could get a bit of use out of, I suppose, in the future, as well as in the immediate kind of future as well.
Yeah, I just saw, I was doing a bit of reading around last night, and I saw him referred as the Blackburn Cannavaro. So that is... That's encouraging.
I look forward to seeing that, for sure. Dar O'Shea is the final defender, and their three goalkeepers are Max O'Leary, Josh Keighley, and Killian Cahill, obviously, who's at Leighton Orient as well, picked up a lot of minutes this season, maybe somewhat surprisingly, considering that Tommy Simpkin, who's a very highly rated English goalkeeper there on loan at the start of the season, but Killian Cahill managed to get him out of there as the number one. And Max O'Leary, obviously, remember him getting his first cap there against Luxembourg, I think it was, and it was quite an emotional time. So good to see him back in the squad too. I'm going to pull a couple of these comments up for you here. One Connor is back again. He says, we've seen Irish players tear it up in League 1 and League 2 before, only for it not to transfer to the Championship goals wise, using examples of Paddy Madden and our very own Owen Doyle, who I'm sure will appreciate that. Jack Moylan will be tested at a much higher level next season, and that is true, but that doesn't really matter if he starts doing it in an Ireland shirt. Edo Stack has also been in touch, asking if there's any progress on Liam Delap and others such as Alex Scott declaring for Ireland. Do we know how Ferguson is healing up, and what are the thoughts on where he will be playing his football next season? Now, that's something we could probably go into a bit more detail in
the whole podcast
at another stage. We've done about a half an hour on stuff like that before, and we'll have plenty more time to be doing it. But as far as the Lap and Scott goes, Ben, you were talking to Hamer today. I imagine that probably didn't come up, but it's probably fitting to bring in Owen Elding here again, and we can listen to him in just a moment. But Ben, what do you reckon there?
Yeah, look, last time I spoke to Hamer at the end of the last camp about Liam Delap, and it's basically the situation hasn't changed. The offer is out to Delap. It's up to him whether he wants to take it or not. They're not really going to go pushing any further. They've told him where they stand. If you want to come over, the arms are open, but they're not going to go running after him, which I quite like that that stance, I suppose. Yeah,
I think so. For me on Evan Ferguson, I've absolutely no idea where he's going to be playing his football next season, but it's definitely something we'll have a think about and come back to over the next couple of weeks. Owen McDermott has also asked a question here about Alex Murphy, of course, who was a left back at Newcastle, and Anselmo Garcia-McNulty, who had a fantastic weekend for Pexvalla, having higher potential, according to Owen, than Joel Begin. Any reason they're not in the squad? Well, I'm not sure if they do have higher potential or not. They're definitely very highly regarded, but both of those are still in season, so that's why they won't be included. You've had to add there, Ben?
No, I think they're also two smashing footballers. Both can play centre half or left back. But yeah, exactly that. They would have been in the squad if they could have been. We might see them at the end of the month.
Yeah.
We genuinely might. It's going to be a very different squad against Canada and Qatar, and that's inside FIFA regulation windows. It's just the fact that this is out of it, that you could only call up players throughout the season. So that's why they're not there.
Yeah, and one Connor was very quick to jump and reply to Owen McDermott there before I could get to it and tell him that both are still involved in club football this season. Now, we were intended to give you a bit of Hamer talking about Owen Elding earlier on, and Bri Julio Ray has been asking about Owen Elding. Well, here is what Hamer Hallgrimsson had to say about Owen Elding.
Because there was an article on him, I think, this week. So I gave him a call this morning and said, I would definitely have a question about you. Am I okay saying you're committed to Ireland? And he said, yes, no problem. So he is in our frame. He might be one that we would call in. Obviously, he can't play the cups in June, but we might call him in just to have him around the squad, being on trainings, etc. But he's one that we see as a high potential as well.
So interesting stuff there about potentially having him in and around the squad in May, even though he won't be able to play, obviously, with the citizenship issues that were scuppered after the fuel protests, which is another little thing we could have done without. But what do you reckon?
Surely Micheál Martin or people, like, do people in the government actually care about football? Like, can they not just get this passport thing done? Like, this is a high potential footballer who's came through the League of Ireland, has played at like the Kennedy Cup, played for Sligo Rovers, and then you read one week, you know, he's been in the UK for a couple of months, and they're like, oh, England are sniffing around him. Of course they are. Like, can someone not just like get that done in, you know, the passport office. Like,
pull a few strings.
Like he went to school in Ireland and everything. Look, I'm being a bit
pedantic.
Yeah, like I remember Stephen Kenny speaking about this when Chidozie Ogbeni was getting called into the squad, and even though he'd been in school in Ireland, like it was actually a rigmarole to try and get him to play for Ireland, as in like the red tape around, and it was just. Yeah, it was a nightmare, but I just think this guy Elding has gone to. So he broke through at Sligo Rovers, did really well, went to the next level last season again, has gone to Hibs and gone to another level again. I watched the game against Celtic at the weekend, and in a game where, unfortunately, Jamie McGrath was sent off after 20 minutes, Elding basically had to play up front number 10 and left wing all at the one time. And interestingly, he was left on in that game for the whole. Pretty much until like the 80 something minute, and he has to come off a cramp. They took off like Martin Boyle and different players, Hibs, when they're, you know, trying to stay in the game and get back into the game. And like Elding was excellent, and his physicality and his know-how and his just constant threat, I think he is the ideal replacement, or, you know, someone to battle for that Chidozie Ogbeni shirt in the front two. And the quicker he is done in an Ireland shirt, the better it is for everybody. I just can't get over how it's taken so long.
Yeah,
I understand, but he will be a really, really top player, and he's been linked already to teams in Italy. So, like, let's you know, he has to be in the squad. Obviously, in May and June, he obviously can't play, but but like, let's get this done.
And you like to add there, yeah. Ben, on Elding?
Yeah, I should just obviously have to preface it by saying that because he is not born here and he's no relations to the land, he's a naturalised citizen. So unfortunately, the only way to get him a passport is he actually has to go and sit through a citizenship ceremony, which I look.
This, yeah, all right, Ben. All right.
This is
all
out,
right.
This is out, no, I say this is outside of our remit as sports journalists and reporters rather than political ones. But it does. You do kind of wonder, could something not have been done? It seems not. You'd think surely there'd be rules for like wider implications of this guy is going to serve on the front lines. This guy's going to serve on the front lines for the Republic of Ireland men's football team. Why can't we just give him a passport? But apparently not. I'd echo everything David said there. I can't wait to see this guy in an Ireland shirt. He's someone who the very first time I saw him for Sligo Rovers, you just knew, it's one of those players you just knew as soon as he got on the ball that exactly where he was going to go. And I'm just delighted to see him. I'm delighted to see the move has worked out for him. And it's a great move, whoever's advised him on that move. It's a brilliant move. It's not that much of a step up in level to go to the Scottish Premiership.
I'm going to bring that up now.
He's taken to it like a duck to water. Fantastic.
There's just a comment there from David Wilson's burner account, one corner, saying if Owen Elding was a rugby player, he would have had his passport years ago.
You're not wrong.
Never fails.
He's not wrong at all, is he? No.
There's absolutely loads going on in the world of Irish football now. Although the EFL season has ended where the majority of our players are playing, we've still got the playoffs to look forward to. And I absolutely love the playoffs, and that's going to be coming up over the next week or so. And we'll be keeping you up to date and all that sort, all that good stuff around how all that's going. We've got the LY pod as well tomorrow. Be talking about. I imagine they'll be talking about the lack of League of Ireland players in this squad, and you'll be getting the takes from the lads on that too.
Yeah, we will. Interesting kind of double weekend in the League of Ireland. Just on that as well, I want to mention Armstrong Okaflex won the Bulgarian League at the weekend. So, you know, there's people getting the benefit of going to the continent and, you know, developing their game there. He's had a really interesting career, and hopefully we'll get to chat.
No, we will. Now's the perfect time, sure. He's in his off season. We'll get him. Sinclair Armstrong injured? No,
he wasn't brought up in the press conference or your interview, Ben. Maybe they just went for Tom Cannon. We have so many strikers there.
Yeah. It's fair. It just caught my eyes looking back in the squad there. Sorry,
it's a good question. It actually didn't even come across my mind. I think you're blindsided by the players that you hoped would be there. Would be there the likes of Jay Numa, and Jack Boyle, and then obviously the Victor Osimhuna comments last night. Throw a little bit into a mix that, to be honest, he probably just slipped everyone's mind. It's a very good point. He wasn't brought up by Hamer as well in the opening address, so look, maybe that tells you where he stands.
Mark Sykes, another one that I had in my list, I was just flicking back through it there. I imagine he's probably opted to make sure he's fit the off season as he looks for a new club if he's not going to be hanging around.
Yeah, Alan Brown done that before, where it's understandable. You know, your club football is your bread and butter, and you're trying to get that next contract.
Yeah, so very quickly I'll run through the squad. This has been a very special edition of the live green scene. Our goalkeepers are Max O'Leary, Josh Keeley and Killian Cahill. The defenders are Darragh O'Shea, Aaron Cashin, James Abankwa, Mark McGuinness, Teo Adaramola and Joel Bay. Fagan, Jason Malumbi, Jason Knight, Connor Coventry and Andrew Moran make up our midfield, and then our abundance of forwards are Adam Eda, Tom Cannon. Adam Eda had a fantastic weekend too, we didn't get to mention that. Chidoze Ogbene, Casey McAteer, Millie Alley, Adam Umaku, Jack Moylan and Jaden Ume. And as always, the green scene on Off the Ball is with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams. Thanks very much, David. Thanks very much, Ben. I'm not sure if you're at home, but if not, safe home.
Yeah, literally just got home a couple of minutes before we hopped on. Managed to squeak in home from Abbottstown.
And if you are watching if you are watching this after the fact, we did go live today. And if us going live is something you'd like to see more regularly, obviously we've done it today as a reaction to the squad. One Connor would have mentioned of Connor Noss as well. Ben, you'll appreciate that one just before we wrap up. But if this is something you'd like to see us do more, let us know and we'll try and make it happen. And outside of that, enjoy the rest of your week.
The email?
I don't know the email.
thegreenscene@offtheball.com. you have to plug the email and also our social.
I don't know the email.
I don't know the email.
What's you sitting in there, Matthew Brown? Joke.
Anyway, it would be grand. Get your comments and your emails in, and we'll be back again next week.
The Green Scene on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.